not going to preach long today, but we're going to share God's word. Amen. We read earlier from Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And Christmas should be about joy. Amen. You know, where today begins our Christmas season here at Grace Baptist. And with that Christmas season comes this word called anticipation. And so what might we anticipate in these next few weeks heading up into Christmas? We can anticipate time with family and friends. Amen. We can anticipate a time of fun and laughter, a time of wonderful homemade foods, especially fudge and cookies. Amen. We can anticipate shopping and decorating and putting up a tree. Well, some of us can anticipate that. We can anticipate giving presents, gifts to those we care about. And we can anticipate receiving presents. My wife is like really on my nerves right now, and here's why. 2 weeks ago, she said, I got your present. And so now I'm like, you know, what is it? Where is it? And she pulled one over on me. She's got it over at our daughter's house, I think. And so now I got to go over there, and I'm not, you know, but you anticipate receiving this. And so she's watching me being frustrated, having to wait another 24 days until I see what she got me. And now I'm really panicking because if she got me one already, and then she says, have you gotten mine yet? Well, I've been working on that. In all of that, though, we must never lose sight of this important truth. First and foremost, I think this, we should re-anticipate the birth of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen? Yes, he's already been born, and yes, he's already lived on the earth. He's already died on the cross of Calvary. He's already arose from the grave. He's already ascended back to the Father, but we need to keep all of those remembrances alive in our hearts, never forgetting why he died for us. He died for us because he loved us. It's as simple as that. Jesus Christ, the baby boy that was born on Christmas morning, the Lord and Savior who died on the cross, who rose again, he did all of that because he loves you. He made it the only way possible for our sins to be forgiven, the only way possible so that we can know God, the only way possible that we can be alive with him for all eternity. Jesus did all of that simply because he loves us. And so at Christmas time, it allows us this opportunity to experience anew the birth of Jesus Christ. And this is what keeps his joy alive in our hearts. It's all about joy, amen? I hope you got that already this morning. Today we were focusing on joy. It's that same joy that we had at the moment of our salvation. The same joy we felt when we surrendered our whole being to him. And so at Christmas we experience anew his story. And we allow him to rewrite his story in our hearts. And some people are saying, well, what is his story? I'm glad you asked. You see, Jesus is the very Son of God. Notice I said is and not was. He still is the very Son of God. He was born of a virgin named Mary. Folks, don't ever forget that. I heard too much of that last Christmas. You don't need to believe that anymore, just so you believe that he rose from the dead. Yes, you do. He was born of the Virgin Mary. Why? Because the Bible says so. That gives me joy to know that my Lord and Savior, who was sinless and perfect, came from a virgin. After his birth, he was laid in a manger. He came with humble beginnings. Shepherds and wise men alike were led by God to visit him. That same baby grew up in a normal household. He had earthly parents, Mary and Joseph. But when he was about 30 years old, he began his ministry life. And for 3 years, this Jesus, this Son of God, taught us many things. Most importantly, he showed us how to walk with God and to know God. He taught us God's ways. He taught us God's commands. He taught us that we are to obey those commands. He told us he would always be with us. He would always be the source of our strength and our peace and our joy. But folks, to have all of that, we first have to welcome him into our lives. was talking to a guy the other day, and why is it so many people and even so-called Christians seem to don't have time for God? All of the surveys and the polls that we read, a regular church attender used to be someone who came once a week. And about 40 years ago, they lowered that standard. Well, a regular church attender is someone who comes once every 2 weeks. Today, they've lowered the standard even further, saying, well, a regular attender is someone who comes once a month. What that's telling me is these people who say they love God, who say they worship God, who say God is in their life, seem to not have time for God. We need to keep Him first in everything that we say, everything that we do, everything that we are. We need to make room for God. We need to make room for that little baby boy into our lives. We have to welcome him in and not shut him out. We're to think about him every day, talk with him, walk with him. But Pastor, why should we do that? If we do that, here's what Jesus promised. Jesus promised his joy would fill our hearts. Every now and then I'll tell my wife, and I can just look at her sometimes and she's knitting or watching TV, and I'll just look at her and I go, you still melt my heart. Does Jesus do that to you still? Does he melt your heart? Does his joy still in you? Here's why it's so important. His joy will replace our fears. His joy will replace our anxiety. His joy will replace our doubts. His joy will replace our anger and our sadness and our loneliness. His joy will be our strength at all times, all the time. Amen? I don't know about you, but we live in this world that doesn't want Christianity to be a part of it anymore. And we need strength. And the Bible says our strength can be found in the joy of knowing the Lord. 3 years later, Jesus was crucified on the cross. He died at the age of 33. He was buried in a tomb. But on that third day, it was discovered that the tomb was empty. Jesus' body was gone. He had arisen from the dead. Jesus did that to conquer both sin and death. He did that so we could have forgiveness of our sins. He did that so we can have eternal life with God. He did that so we can experience the joy of knowing God. Jesus, that little bitty baby boy. Think about that. Here's Taylor, just a couple weeks old. That little baby boy, Jesus, born in a stable, made the way for us to know God, the creator of us all. Think about that for a moment again. We can know God. We can know God. We can walk with God. Do you know we can talk with God? That little baby boy grew up to be a man, and Jesus said these words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he proclaimed he was the only way to God the Father. I don't know about you, but that gives me joy. I want to know God. I want to be on his side. Amen? And so with Christmas coming, can I encourage you to remember these things? Remember these truths which bring us true joy? And in spite of what you're going through this morning, there is joy in knowing that God is there with you. Amen? There is joy in knowing that he loves you. Oh, Pastor, he can't possibly love me. Yes, he can and he does. And there is joy in knowing this. He is there to help you if you'll invite him in. Remember this, when you're walking with him, when you're obeying him, when you're living for him, he'll bring joy to your heart. But in the process, here's what the Bible says. You will bring joy to his heart. Oh, I can know God. And you mean I can bring joy to God? Yes. This Christmas, will you allow the Lord Jesus Christ to fill your heart with his joy? Let me share a couple verses with you. In Luke chapter 2, the angel said to them, shepherds that were there at night, do not be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Peter writes to us in 1 Peter, you love him, though you have not seen him. And though not seeing him now, you believe in him and you rejoice with inexpressible and glorious joy. Why? Because you are receiving the goal of your faith, which is the salvation of your soul. The psalmist writes to us, then I will come to the altar of God, to God my greatest joy. Is God your greatest joy today? Amen. Oh, I know we have nice houses, and we have cars and jobs and family and spouses and kids and grandkids, and they're the joys of our life. But can I just profess to you as a witness today, God is my greatest joy. And knowing him, he says, I will praise you therefore, God my God. Jesus said to us in John 15, I have spoken these things to you so that my joy may be in you and so that your joy may be complete. Jesus went on to say in the next chapter, until now you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive so that your joy may be complete. The prophet Isaiah wrote to us, the humble will have joy after joy in the Lord. And the poor people will rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. He said in Isaiah 65, my servants will shout for joy from a glad heart. The writer of Hebrews says, therefore, since we also have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so many easily has ensnared us. And let us run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus. Why? Because he is the source and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that lay before him endured the cross and despised the shame, and now he has sat down at the right hand of God's throne. Folks, there's joy in knowing Jesus. Habakkuk says this, yet I will triumph in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. Yahweh, my Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like those of a deer and enables me to walk on mountain heights. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven. Nature saying, let us go to the Lord in prayer.